So, Renee, you had a breakout session. And I had a breakout session with the fellas. And I was very, very encouraged in there. Very pleased and sensed a lot of like-minded, blessed men. Wait, look, you are funny with your diet Pepsi. Yeah, a tiny one that's lasted all morning. Oh. So when we're done, Renee and I will be back there at our table where we have these things called compact discs. They contain music, and people used to purchase them back in the day. And some of us still carry them around as if people still buy them. But no, I'm very thankful for the songs that God has allowed me to sing over the years. Mm-hmm. And those compact discs, they run the years, don't they? It's almost like I look like
the
two different people on those CDs.
And but, the hair color.
Yeah, don't, what?
And the lack thereof. Let's not talk
about these things. But that music's back there, and we are
so
also books that we have written. The testimony that we shared last night is on this book, I Surrender All. And there's a picture on the book that appears to have been ripped between me and Renee. That was just an artistic decision, I suppose, by the publisher, because our marriage was not ripped into at all. God protected us and those young kids on that book. God loves that couple a lot and still does, and I'm thankful for this story of redemption, of forgiveness, and of victory. You're looking at it like you want to say something.
No, I'm just laughing because our kids say, that doesn't look anything like y'all.
Yeah, well,
that's,
it did 20 years ago.
That's
hush.
Smoke and mirrors, baby. That's how they do that.
Now, Renee, you wrote a book called Rare Girl.
I did.
Which I'm just really proud. It's a good pride. It's not a bad pride.
Aww.
I'm proud of you. Thankful that God placed this in your heart for young girls. And really, young girls, it doesn't mean 10-year-olds. It doesn't mean 15-year-olds. It doesn't mean 20-year-olds. But young ladies growing up in this world, and we know how fast they're growing up now. This says, Rare Girl, Plain Talk to Lead Your Tweens and Teens in a World That Screams Go Wild. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you just had enough. You said, I just want to write this book and just lay it out there, what I think about what our girls, how they should be carrying themselves as mm-hmm. young ladies of God mm-hmm. in their texting, mm-hmm. in their... Mm-hmm. Yep. interaction with mm-hmm. other people. Mm-hmm. So you're very frank and honest and funny in this book. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, mm-hmm. it's a quick little pitch there.
Yeah, well, you know, I had heard enough from the world telling our girls what they need to go do. So I said, no, we need some girls gone holy. Mm. Y'all know what I'm saying? So that was my, and especially having three daughters, it just was my, that's, so it's, you know, and again, there are wonderful practical tips in there, just like we're, you know, giving you this weekend. But it's all about that core, about the heart, and about that commitment to the Lord, and about what are they reading in God's Word, their prayer life, where are they serving, pouring those things into them. It's like seeing our daughters, Shelby and Savannah now, 22, Shelby, Savannah, 18, and just the, when they were growing up, we would say to them, we don't want you just to make good choices. We want you to make God choices for your life. Because y'all know, we could make a good choice and miss what God had for us. And something else we would use all the time was the passage about the narrow gate and the wide gate. You know, narrow is the path, but wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many go through that one. And so they knew that passage of scripture, and all we would say when the girls were leaving the house, we would say, narrow or wide, baby, which one are you going to choose, narrow or wide? Narrow, mama, narrow. And that's what we do. And another little one I say, keep it pure, keep it pure. And they know it. And so they've all of the girls' friends call me Mama Nay, and they said they were going to get a t-shirt that says, keep it pure, Mama Nay. Like, that's my catchphrase right there. But the importance of it with our kids, y'all, talking. That, I'm sorry, I got off on tangent with my book there, but
no,
it's important. It's important.
It is. So now we're in the final session. We've covered step one, step two, step three. Step one was literally saying, Lord, come in, inspect this life. You be the home inspector.
Yep.
Step two, then what are we going to build this life on? You know, our job, our health, our kids. Those are all blessings. No, our foundation is your word, your unshakable word, your perfect word in my life. Step three, we're going to cover this home in prayer. And step four is maintaining that, maintenance. So we're doing these things. We are saying, Lord, we are not going to crowd you out of this home. You are not going to be one of those homes. We are not going to be one of those homes where you're on the outside knocking, trying to get in. We want you central and constant in this home. And we want to maintain that. That's a big part of what our breakout session was, guys. Just maintaining the blessing that God's given us. Protecting against harm that could come in. Maintenance. Maintaining the investment. It's all about the upkeep. And a big part of that, a big part of the maintenance is our communication. Is what we're talking about. Are we positive? Am I encouraging to you and the kids? Or do you have to walk on eggshells around me because you're worried I'm going to blow up? Am I that kind of guy in the house? Am I that kind of dad and husband that you have to walk on eggshells? Or do you know he's an encourager? He's seeking peace. He's sensing when something is not peaceful and trying to bring it back to a place of peace. Our communication, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. John MacArthur put it this way, the greatest good things can come from our words. And the greatest harmful things can come from our words and how we say them. Greatest good, greatest harm are in the power of the tongue.
And for us, we have found this to be so true. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, death, bad. Life, good. Now, death for a Christian, if we want to break it down all that good, that's good. When, but we're talking about, just look at it this way with us.
Good and
words,
bad.
Good and bad. Now, you mentioned Adrian Rogers a minute ago in your talk. Are y'all familiar with Dr. Adrian Rogers, pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church? He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but we grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, so we always knew of Dr. Rogers. We didn't attend Bellevue. Clay's great aunt was a charter member there, and we loved visiting there some, but we attended another church, a smaller church. But we have since, when Dr. Rogers stepped down from the pastor there, his wife came to our church, our home church, and we became friends with Miss Joyce Rogers. And for whatever reason, she's kind of adopted Clay as another son. She just loved to hear Clay sing and just has always been so kind to our family and our children. They were dedicating the Adrian Rogers Library there at the seminary in Memphis, Tennessee. And they were bringing in pastors from all over the country into the Rogers home. And this was after Dr. Rogers has already had passed away, but they were having this at the home where Miss Rogers lives, and she invited Clay to come over and lead worship, just this intimate setting for these pastors and for this dedication, and so that was on the calendar. Well, Clay got a phone call that there was a revival in Kentucky, which is just above Tennessee, if you know your geography there. That they needed Clay to come and do a revival that Sunday night. This was the event was going to be on a Tuesday night. So you were going to go see some friends in Nashville and go do this revival and be back in town.
That was more in the time of my life where I was just traveling everywhere doing different events. So it was no big deal for me to do a revival in Kentucky and then the next night be at a smaller event at Miss Rogers' home for these pastors around the country. So I thought, okay, I'll head from Memphis. I'll go through Nashville. I got friends in Nashville. I'll have lunch with some friends in Nashville. And I recall at lunch having this amazing chicken dinner lunch. And couldn't eat the whole thing, so I had a to-go box. Any to-go box people here, you don't let anything go to waste. So you take what you don't eat with you. You eat it later. Headed up to Kentucky, sang and shared at this revival up there, and then drove through the night back down to Memphis. And that should be the end of the story, Renee, but there is a point to this story that involves the chicken that I picked up the day before at lunch.
So he got in probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd like to say that I'm the kind of wife that would wait up for him. No, I was in the bed asleep. I prayed for his journey home, but I went to bed. But the next morning I get up, and I look in the refrigerator, and there's this box, styrofoam box, and I'm thinking, well, where'd that come from? And I open it to see chicken. And I'm thinking, whose is that? It has to be Clay's. So he comes in the kitchen, and he said, oh, that's my leftovers. And I said, from where? And he said, well, from lunch yesterday in Nashville. I said, well, where did you keep it? And he said, in the car. Y'all, it was August in Tennessee. Y'all, it gets 120 degrees. I mean, come on. Y'all, it's hot. I said, did you have a cooler to keep it in, honey? No. I'm like, what? Like, it stayed in the car like all day and all night. You can't eat that chicken. That is great. You got Miss Rogers' house tonight.
I was determined to eat that chicken. And I knew, you know, we've known each other a long time. I've seen her react this way about maybe food possibly getting old and her worry about that. And we kind of went.
You get the botulism from that stuff, you know?
We went back and forth about it, and I finally just said, I just knew, you know, I knew it when I put it in the car and I was going to bring it. I knew if you saw it, you'd get mad about it and say something. And that's where the fight started when I said, I just knew. Because that makes the other person mad when you're telling them, I already knew you'd be that way.
And y'all know what I'd already done. I'm thinking, he's going to the home of Dr. Adrian Rogers, God rest his soul, going to be singing in front of these pastors tonight, and it's going to turn into a scene from Dumb and Dumber. I hope I don't have to elaborate that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not going to say any more in the church house, but it wasn't pretty. So I've got that in my head playing, and he says, I knew you were going to say that. And I said, all right, bucko, Well, then I will never, ever, 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 ever say anything about anything else ever again. I turned into Taylor Swift or something, you know?
And I said, promise?
So by this time, like, the kids are like, what is going on in here? And we're just like, oh, wow. Boy, we just stepped in it this morning, didn't we? We just did all of that wrong. Death in the power of the tongue. And we stopped, and we were like, okay, we did that wrong. I love you. I was just concerned. I probably overreacted, or maybe I didn't. I don't know. But it was out of genuine concern. I didn't want you to get sick at the Rogers house tonight and tear up their toilet. I just was concerned, honey. And we apologized and went on and, you know.
Did he eat the chicken?
He ate that chicken, y'all.
Well, no problem.
And it didn't make him sick. If I'd have eaten that chicken, I'd have been in the hospital for a week. IV in my arm. It would have been ugly. But he ate that chicken. I was like, Lord, you just, that was your grace covering him on that one. But, okay, we did it wrong that way. So, I love the Lord. He gives us another chance. So, a couple of days later, that same week, you're getting ready to have worship team practice. I was going grocery store shopping. I love to do the couponing. I'm a coupon queen. I got my stash of free toothpaste. I love it. I love to save some money. And So here I go out the door, and the last thing Clay said to me was, will you be back by 5 o'clock? Because that's what time I've got to go and unlock the church, and so I like to get settled and everything before everybody starts getting there, and that gives me, I said, no problem. But you know, when you get to the store and you start looking at all your coupons and getting all those deals, you kind of lose track of time. And I start checking out, and I'm realizing I'm cutting it close. But by the grace of the Lord, I'm on our street, turning in to our street to get to the house. And my phone rings. It's 4:59. And I see my husband's sweet face pop up.
So y'all know what's happening here. She sees the caller ID, and immediately the fight, before we even speaking, before we even say anything, in her mind, the defenses go up. She sees the caller ID.
He said 5. It's 4:59.
She prepares herself for a fight, basically, before we even answer the phone.
I'm getting all burred up already. I'm like, he told me to be home by 5, and it's 4:59. And I'm just looking at the phone. I hadn't even answered it yet. So I'm like, hello? And he said, hey, babe.
That always helps when you say
babe,
that.
Throw in a babe. That helps. He said, I know you're out shopping, and I appreciate you doing that. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Sophie and Garrett are still here with me. How about you just meet me at the church? I'm going to put them in the car with me and just take them on up to the church with me. Swing by on your way home and pick them up there. And that way you don't have to be rushed and I'll still be on time. And I was like, just kind of let the wind out of myself. Like I was ready to fight again. And he deflated it by his words, the words he chose. Life. And I was like, babe, look out the window. I'm here. And sure enough, he comes out the door, gave a little smoochy poo. He went on to church. I got the kids to help me get the grocery in. And it was a good day. It's so important that we choose our words wisely. Life and death, the power of the tongue.
Look at this principle. It's the HALT principle. Yes. HALT. Principle. It's waiting to speak. And it's been suggested, if you're experiencing any of these things, if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And you know what? We may experience those things any day. You know, at any time in the day, you may be a little hungry or irked about something.
That's why I like that Snickers commercial, because that kind of paints the picture of
right.
Just being kind of grouchy when you're hungry.
Tired.
Yeah.
Wait. Mm. Wait mm-hmm. until you speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We like this. Words are like seeds. Mm-hmm. If you don't like the harvest in your marriage, there's good news. You can change seeds and the harvest will change. You have power. You aren't helpless and you aren't a victim. You have the power of death and life in your tongue. Unleash that power toward your spouse in a positive manner and you will see the truth of what the Bible says. We know we can start a fight or avoid a fight by choosing our words wisely.
Yep.
Hey, let's read this out loud. Y'all read it with us.
Yep. Can y'all see that?
Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger.
Our kids learned it that way. Stirs up anger. Like they were making a cake or something. I love that. Yep.
The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. He who is quick-tempered exalts folly.
Now, Proverbs 12:18 says this: there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 21:23 is a verse that we have used in our house a lot with our sweet son, Garrett. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. Now, you know, last night when we shared our testimony that we need to talk, those words, when Garrett was younger at school, we got a lot of those phone calls from the school, we need to talk. And that's never a good thing. That's why we know. Y'all know those words are never a good thing. Well, there happened to be a particular time where Garrett was in math class, fifth grade, with Mr. Stanko. How's that for an elementary school teacher? That's just like, that's win-win right there. And a little boy had left the room and come back in, had asked, "What did I miss when I was out of the classroom?" And our son just boldly pronounced to the whole class, "Oh, you didn't miss anything. Mr. Stanko was just running his mouth." That's our son. So he got promptly removed from the classroom, and we had to go deal with that issue and all of that and let him know we're not going to speak to the teacher that way, and let the teacher know we support you and our son's not going to speak to you that way and all of that. And yes, the Lord has such a wonderful way of keeping us all humble, doesn't he? We're with Holy Homes Ministries. But what Garrett had to learn is this: there are a lot of things that pop in our head every day. And it might have been true that Mr. Stanko wasn't having anything important in Garrett's mind at the time to say, but you can't just blurt that out. Now, I know, don't ever add anything to the Word of God, but what we had to do with Garrett was kind of break this down in a learning visual for him. We said, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his behind from trouble. So that's where the boy met the Word of God that afternoon. And guess what? It helps. So that's where we are with that.
It does. Our words are powerful. How we use them are powerful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Check this example out.
Mm-hmm. I messed up. So I told her, "You got a mirror, you can see what you look like in those jeans."
Oh.
So, anyway, I don't know what to do.
You just talk to her.
And tell her what?
You tell her how you feel.
I did. I told her, "I feel like you look like your mother."
Okay. No, you need to use your words. You know, romantic words.
Oh. Wait, what?
Real? Okay, honey, you take your wife by her hands and you just pour into her.
Wait. Am I holding her hands or am I pouring something? I can't do both.
What? No. Todd, you are going to pour words into your wife. You look her in the eyes, dead set, and you just let go. Because that's what she does to you, Todd. She makes you let go. And you say to her, "You mean everything to me. And I would let go of everything if it means that I just get to hold you for the rest of my life." And that's what you do. What are you doing?
I'm calling my wife, and you are going to tell me some pretty words to say to her.
We are not doing this.
Hey, babe. No, don't hang up. Don't hang up. I was an idiot, and I know you said some things too. You shouldn't have.
You don't say that.
That's not what I meant. I meant I have some things to say to you right now.
No.
While we're on the phone.
Stop it.
Just listen. She said I have 2 minutes.
What do I say? What do I say?
I'm sorry.
For what? Don't you tell her that.
I'm sorry. Babe?
She's still there. I can hear her breathing. Tell her I love you and you mean everything to me and I am a fool because I don't tell you that more often.
I'm a fool for loving you and I should say that stuff more often.
You are the only reason I am half the man I am. Your love and constant support is my daily breath.
I'm half the man I am because of you. And your love is a constraint.
Constant support.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, no. Your love is constantly on my breath. Daily.
You are the greatest blessing God has ever given me. And you are perfect for me.
Babe, you're the best thing God ever did for me. You're perfect. For me, you're perfect. You're not perfect.
What are you doing? Just tell me what to say.
Sunsets are more beautiful when you are on the horizon.
You're more beautiful at sunset on the horizon. Totally worked. Babe, I'm gone in 60 seconds.
What a moron.
You were great.
I know, right?
The words you said, I heard. I had no idea.
Seriously? You had no idea that some women fall for that stuff? I'm just glad you're not that gullible. By the way, what's for dinner? I've messed up.
Use your words, my friend. Use those words.
All right, we want to talk to you about something called the five-second rule.
You're familiar with...
Oh, no, let's talk to him about his nice silky robe he had on. I like that. Didn't y'all like the robe?
Yes. We're familiar with the five-second rule when it comes to food.
That's gross, Clay.
If you drop a certain item of food...
I don't do that. That's gross.
...and can pick it up within 5 seconds, it's perfectly okay to eat.
Baby.
Right? But it doesn't apply to all foods. You know, a little pretzel is one thing, but other food, you wouldn't necessarily. We saw this abused out at a conference center where I lead worship on the Oregon coast every summer. This great conference center out there, but it's an old dining hall that's been there for, I feel like, 100 years, you know.
Sure.
And it's carpeted, and they do the buffet there, so you go through the line and get your food. And I saw a young man.
And it's on the coast, so
there's sand.
It's like
know.
That indoor-outdoor carpet because people are coming in from the beach, so they don't. You don't want it nice carpet in there.
I saw this young man, and he was in front of me, and he had his plate, and from his plate plopped Jell-O onto this carpeted floor. Jell-O, and I kid you not, I saw this kid pick it up, eat it. And tell me, 5 second rule. So, no, it doesn't apply to all foods. No, what we're talking about here are our words. Waiting 5 mere seconds can save us from destruction. Just waiting in that moment, in that heated moment. We all have them.
Yeah, we're not talking about when you ask your spouse, hey, where do you want to go eat tonight on a date? 1, 2, 3. Unless you're really thinking or
no,
something.
No, it's when you
we're talking about
it's when you can sense it coming on.
Y'all can feel when stuff is getting tense. You can get the little bird up. Y'all can feel it coming, right? That's not just me. Y'all feel it.
And if you wait even that small amount of time,
yes.
You'll say something different. You may not say something perfect, but it will be different than it would have been what was going to blurt out of your mouth. When you wait, you'll at least, okay, let's talk about, you know, you'll say it differently. And what's powerful also that we've noticed.
Yes, this.
The other person notices. They sense it coming on too. And when they see you waiting, that sends a message to them. I mean, yes, okay, they're mad too. They're waiting. But the fact that they're waiting sends a message to them that an effort is being made. I don't want this to get bad. Can we reasonably talk about this?
And y'all know I say a lot of words, so when I stop and count to five, that says a lot to Clay.
But if it's just blurt, blurt, flesh, 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 we know where that conversation's going to go.
Death.
So practice the 5-second rule. This is interesting. Causes of conflict. 10% of the time, it's a true difference of opinion. I can eat the chicken and it'll be fine. You can't eat that chicken. It won't be fine. That was truly a difference in opinion. But then 90% of conflicts are not necessarily even about a core difference of opinion, but about a wrong tone.
Yes.
I'm going to make you popcorn. We'll make enough. You know, that kind of thing.
You and your gravy. It's the tone of voice in which it's delivered. It's so important. And this is vital. This is vital. This is when we're talking to our kids, too. This is teaching them how to communicate to their friends, to their boyfriend. You know, this is something our 18-year-old daughter has a boyfriend, and he's just an amazing young man of God, and his family, they are missionaries in Ecuador, and he's about to join the Navy, and this kid's just this solid kid. But we will see little things, conversations they're having, and just that whole tone of voice, or that releasing your right to be right. Like, is it worth the fight? Just so you feel like you're right. And so they'll be having a conversation, and Clay and I will be in the room, and we'll say, we're here if you need us. Would you like our, you know, we do this for a living. And we're your parents, and we care. And so many times we just will speak a little truth in love to them and say, just think about it this way. Instead of just blurting out, before you answer, wait 5 seconds. Count that 5 seconds. It's huge, the difference that can make with everything. I think about when we talked to Garrett and just about how much trouble you will save your soul and behind when you just wait that 5 seconds. So vital, vital, vital.
So why is it important to maintain, watch our words, maintain the blessing that we have? Because we, there in your handouts, we take care of what we love. Mm-hmm. You love someone, you take care of them. You love your children, you take care of them. When you love the home and the family that God's blessed you with, man, when I think about my family, when I think about what we talked about, meeting Renee as just a young girl, and I was, you know, we were teenagers, and growing up together like that, and being married, and having 2 daughters. And then God saying, I got an incredible surprise for you. 2 children on the other side of the world, don't have a home, and I want them to be in your forever family. When I think about that's my family, that is something I should take care of and protect and understand my weaknesses and understand areas that can attack our family and guard against them and keep Christ as the center. We love what we take care of. We take care of what we love.
Just as we were watching the video, the words that appeared, y'all, that's not just good advice. 1 Corinthians 13, Matthew 7. Those are words to build a life on. If you work those words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter. What are we doing here this weekend? Building. And that's what he talks about in his word. We're building strong families, strong homes, strong marriages. Words to build a life on.
Watching the video of the woman looking through a memory box of her life. You know, I think about our life. I think of if you, Renee, if one day you're looking through a box that chronicles our years together, you know, you're gonna come across a lot of amazing things. You really are. A lot of blessings. You know, you may think of low times as well, though, that God worked with us in. But my prayer as a man of God is that she sees a constant in there. She sees that my foundation has been Christ. And that I always reach to him. I thanked him for the mountaintop experiences. And we cried out to him. In moments, even of failure, Lord, we want to be right with you. We want this home to be protected. And that's our prayer for you today. You know, last night and today, it all really says one thing. And it's, Lord, we want our homes to be dedicated to you. We want them to be set apart from this world, from so many homes in this world that don't really acknowledge you. We want our home to be different. We want our kids to feel that impact. Those of you with grandchildren, we want them to feel that impact. We want to model out in front of them what it means to be Christ followers. So right now, just before we close, and you mentioned last night, Renee, if there's anyone here and you have doubts about your salvation altogether, you're just not sure, or maybe you just know, I've never asked Christ to forgive me of my sins and come to know him. I want you to know I'll be available today. Patrick will be available. Any of the church leadership here would be overjoyed to pray with you and talk with you about that eternally important and significant decision in your life. But again, we assume for the most part we're dealing with fellow believers here, fellow Christian homes with some similar challenges and definitely similar blessings that God's given us. We just want to encourage you to rededicate your home to Christ. And, you know, I'm not going to ask for people to come forward, but the way we do it is Renee and I simply pray a prayer of recommitment, and we encourage you to pray that as well. So right now, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. We're almost done here today, but this is the great thing about it. It's a simple prayer. It's in essence saying, I want to be closer to you. I want us to be closer to you, Father. And that's what this prayer is all about. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and I encourage you to repeat after me. Mean it from your heart. And let's do this today. So pray this. Lord Jesus, I believe I'm saved. I thank you for saving me. But there's a distance in my life from me to you, and I want to be closer to you. I rededicate my life to you, my marriage to you, my role as a parent to you. I recommit my heart to you. I want to follow you in a brand new way, in a closer way, in a more real way, and I want others to see that you are everything to me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. ask for protection from the enemy in my home and in my life. And I pray for wisdom moving forward. And I'll be sure to give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. That is victory. That truly is. When you genuinely pray that prayer, it does not fall on deaf ears. He, I believe, rejoices, and heaven rejoices when we have that desire. When heaven is in our hearts and it doesn't feel like some distant place, or he feel like some distant father, but that he's right here with us. So that is victory.